Beauty will save the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Apostle St. Paul had warned us, as we heard on the feast of the glorious martyr St. George last Thursday, all who want to live piously in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Christ is our captain, our leader, our head. There where his sacred feet have trod, there where his precious blood was shed, there too must we tread, there too must we bleed. Remember my word that I said to you, our blessed Savior had told us, the servant is not greater than his master. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you also. In every age, the Christian name has been besmirched and insulted. In the apostolic age, the accusations were as swift as they were perverse. We were accused of immorality, of cannibalism, of disloyalty to the state. And it is in that context that St. Peter writes today's epistle. In general, our first duty when we are accused personally is to defend our good name, the goodness of the Christian name. In this, we can take the example of St. Paul before the Roman judges and his Jewish accusers, as we read in the Acts of the Apostles. However, to be dutiful to the truth, to be faithful to our Lord, words alone will not suffice. Our holy religion has had able defenders in every age, men and women capable of defending in an articulate manner the dogmas of our faith, the honor of the Roman Church. But as the great convert St. John Henry Cardinal Newman explained, it is rather the beauty and the holiness of our religion that are the most attractive and the greatest defenses of the Catholic Church. It is in the beauty of our churches, but most especially the beauty of our lives, that the world will know the falsehood of Satan's lies against the faith, against ourselves. It is for this reason that St. Peter urges us in today's epistle to have your conversation good among the Gentiles. That is to say, maintain good conduct among unbelievers. He continues, so that in case they speak against you as wrongdoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. The temptation put to the first Christians is the temptation put to us Christians now, to respond in kind, to respond to insult with vitriol, to respond to calumny with pride, to fight the devil, the flesh, and the world with the very tools of the devil, the flesh, and the world. Yet we are in the world and not of it. St. Peter says to us at the beginning of today's epistle, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Strangers and pilgrims. St. Paul says to the Hebrews likewise, we have not here a lasting city, but we seek one that is to come. An articulate and reasoned defense of the faith is capital. There is no question. It is necessary, that I will certainly not dispute. But often behind our attempts at defense is a thinly veiled desire for human vengeance. There are very many who detract and calumniate our Catholic name, or who attack the greatness of the traditional rites of the Roman Church. But if we would rather reach hearts than merely satisfy ourselves, we must be firmly rooted in beauty and holiness, the beauty and holiness of our God. No post or article, especially if written with anger and invective, is worth the beauty of this church in the conversion of souls. No argument or display of bravado is worth the example of a truly Christian family in the making of saints. And really, what more should we care for than the salvation of souls, than the making of saints? Can you defend the doctrines of our faith? Good. Can you defend the real presence of Christ our God in the Holy Eucharist? Excellent. But the efforts we as a community make to restore and keep this church beautiful are in many ways a more powerful witness to that very doctrine that Christ is here, truly, substantially, body, blood, soul, and divinity. The hard and long work on our shrine advances. Our legacy gala was a tremendous and inspiring success. What indeed a powerful testament to our faith, the faith of our pastor, the work advancing to beautify this worthy temple of God. Let us again give thanks to Almighty God, who has done great things for us. Holy is his name. However, while we restore this temple, let us not neglect our own temples. Do we make efforts to beautify ourselves on the day that belongs to our Lord, Sunday? Are there special meals, times of rest, reflection on Sundays and feast days, even if we live alone? Or is Sunday just like any other day? Our suits and dresses, our cassocks and veils are not mere fabric. They are the banners that adorn a temple far more sacred than our dear shrine. Are our clothes beautiful in the measure that we can make them? Let not the words that fall from our lips be empty, vain, and spiteful. Our voice is the voice of sons and daughters of God, purchased at an immense price, purchased by the most precious blood. Is our language beautiful? Are our words worthy of the Word made flesh, God the Son? Are our desires worthy of the God who desires our hearts? Are they beautiful, not with the false, merely apparent beauty of this world, but the true beauty of upright conduct and purity of heart? Our fathers in the faith were accused of being disloyal to the state, an accusation we have heard repeated in some quarters recently towards us as Catholics. What is St. Peter's response? He writes, "Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor." The first pope also writes, "Be ye subject, therefore, to every human creature for God's sake. It is God's will that by doing right, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. It is by our loving and respectful obedience to legitimate authority, at home, in the church, in the world, by the morality of our conduct, true moral beauty, that we will prove every accusation false." Let us remember of what Emperor St. Peter is writing. While these sacred words were being inspired by the Holy Ghost, the tyrant Nero reigned, murderer of many Christians, sitting at the apex of power in the Roman Empire. What lesson indeed for us, who refuse so often to submit to legitimate authority and to our neighbor for the love of God. We neglect often even to pray for those whom God has appointed above us, in our families, in the church, in the world. And yet, St. Peter wrote to the faithful that they honor the very man who would soon crucify him. Are we to ignore evil then? Certainly not, no more than St. Peter and St. Paul did. But our conduct, our response must be pure, respectful, serene. What is the source of our serenity, of our peace in living in this world? What will give true force to our arguments? I will always feel the need to vindicate myself if I am not assured that I will be saved by other means. But we have no need to save ourselves. There is but one Savior. Our peace is not to be found in any possession. It is in no mere man. It is in our union with the Prince of Peace, by a life of purity and purity of intention. Christ rose from the dead, and he will vindicate us. Let the Lord God of hosts be our avenger. His resurrection is our hope. It is the assurance of our victory. But he was not merely content to leave us with a distant memory of that victory. Today's gospel is often taken to be a reference to our Lord's impending ascension. And though it is in a secondary sense, it is not in a first. Today we heard our Lord say, "A little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me, because I go to the Father." Our Lord is speaking at the Last Supper. He is speaking of his death, burial, and resurrection. As Blessed Cardinal Schuster explains, the world dominated by greed and lust beyond these sacred walls, that world has not seen our Lord since his passion, but we have. We see our resurrected Savior every single day in the Holy Eucharist, the Son of Justice rising over us, nourishing us, blessing us, sustaining us. He has kept his promise, and he is with us until the end, offering us the treasures of holiness, if we would but seize them. What is our best defense as Christians in a world torn by vice, in a world that despises us and ridicules us? It is in the beauty of our Catholic faith, in the beauty of its expressions, in the beauty of its buildings, of our clothes, of our words, in the beauty of our manners and of our actions, in the holy beauty of our conduct. Christ must reign in every aspect of our lives, at home, at work, at play, in Rome and in Washington, at the altar and at the dining table, everywhere the beauty of Christ and the beauty of our Catholic faith. King David in prophecy addressed our Savior thus, "Thou art the fairest of the sons of men. Grace is poured upon thy lips. Therefore God has blessed thee forever." May the peace of Christ reign in our shrine and in our hearts. Let us remember that our surest defense in an evil and ugly age is the external, moral, and above all spiritual beauty of our Catholic faith. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.